We ought to turn our thoughts now to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 18th verse. It says, but grow in grace. Now it says some more too. There are more in that verse, but that's a thought I want to discuss a little while. Grow in grace. Now let us note in particular, it never said grow into grace. That isn't the way we get into grace. We get into grace by humbling our hearts and repenting of our sins and believing in Christ's shed blood as an atonement for our sins. And on that basis, we receive grace from God. But now, the thought expressed here is grow in grace. Now, you can't grow in grace until you're in grace. A seed can't grow till it's planted. And plants don't grow until they're placed in the earth. Then they have something to feed them that produces growth. We can't grow in grace until we're in grace. But when a person gets in grace, they're going to naturally grow. All of the elements are right there to produce growth. All of the vitamins and all the ingredients that's necessary for growth are right in the grace of God. You don't need to add a thing. Sometimes, I was looking at some potting soil the other day, some bags of it, and on there it said everything is included here that's necessary for the good health of your plant. Don't need to add a thing. They just put it in there and mixed it together and it was there. That's the way with the grace of God. God has supplied everything in His grace that the soul needs for good development and growth and filling out. God seems to be much more concerned about our growth than we are. We seem maybe to be a little satisfied with a little growth, but God wants more growth. And He has provided a richness in His grace and a well-balanced fertilization in His grace that will just cause the soul to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Just keep growing. I think of the matter of spiritual growth pretty much like one man said about the study of music. He said the study of music just has one end, that's the beginning. From there on, just keep going. That's the way with spiritual growth. It just has one end, and that's where you start. There's no other end to it. The sky's the limit. Just keep going. When a person reaches what Brother Milo termed his level, he just decides what his level will be, and he settles for that, and he doesn't progress on past that. The first thing you know, stagnation sets in. And life gets more or less humdrum. Spiritual life does. If progress stops, growth stops, development ceases, it just settles down to a kind of a humdrum. But let me tell you folks, the growing spiritual life is an adventurous life. There's no humdrum in it. There's no staleness in it. Something new every day, and sometimes something new every hour. Just things keep opening up and developing as we move on into them. And there's no humdrum to it. Now, it's the nature of life to grow. And if nothing happens to that life, it's going to grow. You can't stop it. The common complaint of mothers about their children is that they don't stay babies long enough. They grow up too fast. But you can't stop it from happening. That's just the nature of life. We'd like to have our babies longer, wouldn't we? But they're not going to stay babies long. The sad, pitiful part of it is that so many people spiritually stay babies all their lives. They never grow up. They never come to age. They just stay babies. But that isn't God's will. We love our babies, but we wouldn't be happy to have them just stay babies all their lives, would we? We'd think there's something the matter with them. They just stayed babies all their lives. Folks, let me tell you, there's something the matter with you if you just stay in the babe stage spiritually all your life, too. If you don't grow and develop in the grace of God, there's something the matter with you. Now, he says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart shall grow stronger and stronger. If you're not stronger today than you were a year ago this time, there's something the matter with you. Something happened to you somewhere along the line. Says the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. If your light isn't burning brighter and you're not more knowledgeable in the things of God today than you were a year ago today, something happened to you somewhere along that year. Something's the matter with you. Something needs healing. Now, I've told you, I think, before, about a time when we bought a building, a residential building, and it was to be used for a parsonage on the Saints' campground in Pacoima, California. Where that building had formerly sat, there was a large vine on the end of it. And when the movers moved it out, they just tore that vine loose as they moved out, and a lot of the vine come right along with the building. When we got the building out there and got it set on the foundation and were ready to paint it, I went around there to tear this vine out. This building had shingle siding on it. And I went around there to pull this vine down. Well, I couldn't pull that vine down. So I finally just got up there and got me a sharp knife and just cut it off right close along the sides of those shingles, but that is in behind, I couldn't get. Well, As I worked at that, I was conscious of the fact that I couldn't push that vine in behind those shingles. And I couldn't drive it in there. But it grew in there, and when it grew in there, it's hard to get out of there. This matter of spiritual growth isn't a matter of tiptoeing. It isn't a matter of stretching. It's just a matter of growing. Just plain growing. And as you grow, you can grow into things that you couldn't tiptoe into. You couldn't stretch into. But you can grow in them, and when you grow in them, you're lodged in there and you're pretty hard to dislodge. It's pretty hard to pull a person back out of what he grew into. And when we grow in grace and grow into experience after experience and add faith to faith and victory to victory and experience to experience and promise to promise that we have claimed to the things of God along the way, you grow into those things, you're pretty hard to dislodge. You're just about permanently fixed. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, verses 31 and 32, Jesus spoke of the kingdom of heaven as a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and planted in the earth. Said it was the smallest of seed, but when it was grown, it became the greatest of herbs, and even mentioned in one place of it becoming a tree that the fowls of the air could lodge in the branches of it. I've tried to imagine just how many times over that mustard seed multiplied itself in size from the smallest of seed to the greatest of herbs. But now that's growth, isn't it? That's real growth. I think I read somewhere where they said that a watermelon seed, by the time it had grown and produced a watermelon, a fully developed watermelon, it had multiplied itself over in size and weight 250,000 times. That's growth. God wants you and me to grow in grace. But he says the kingdom of heaven grows like this. Again he said, Matthew 13:33, that the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I don't know exactly why he said three. We usually think of us human folks as a twofold being. Soul and body, flesh and spirit, inward man and outward man. Twofold. But there is a technical sense in which man is a threefold being. And don't ask me to define this. I can't break it down that fine. But the Bible draws a line between soul and spirit. He says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And Paul in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians says, I pray God that your whole soul, spirit, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've ordinarily thought of the soul and spirit as the same, and I guess they're connected up together as one, but the Bible in some specific Sense draws a line between them, which makes us a threefold being. But the thought here is that the leaven is hid in us. The kingdom of God has a very small beginning. But now let us take a loaf of bread. There's some leaven in that bread. It was stirred into the dough that the bread was made from. But when it's stirred in there, that leaven just works through every particle of that dough till when it is baked, you can't take a little pinch off of that loaf of bread without getting some of that leaven. It's everywhere in it. It's all through it. And that's just the way spiritual growth is. That's the way the kingdom of God is. It's planted in us, placed in us. But when it is placed in us, it just expands and expands and works itself through our entire being till we're infested with it from body, soul, and spirit all the way through us, every part of our being. We just become affected with the elements of the kingdom of heaven. In the second chapter of Daniel, Daniel was speaking of the kingdom of God. Nebuchadnezzar had had this vision, and we won't go into that, but the particular part of it where the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it smote the image on its feet, and ground the image to powder, but the stone just rolled on and became a mountain and filled the whole earth. All of these examples that are given us in God's Word of the kingdom of God shows it having a very small beginning. But it goes on and on till it becomes a very great thing. But there's one thing that I discern from this, and that is that the matter of our spiritual growth is not so much a matter of us growing as it is just yielding ourselves to the elements of the kingdom of God that are planted in our soul and letting those elements grow in us. The kingdom of God does the growing. And as we yield ourselves to those elements, they continue to grow and expand and increase. And as they spread and increase and expand in us, they crowd out everything about us that's contrary to the elements of truth and the kingdom of heaven. That's spiritual growth. That's growing in grace. In 1 Peter, the second chapter and the second verse, he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now there are elements of growth in the word of God, but the most of folks don't live close enough to the word of God. We don't spend enough time with God's word. But we need a hungering and thirsting in our souls. If we don't have it, let's humble our hearts and seek God to fill us with a real hungering and thirsting. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The elements of spiritual growth are right in the Word of God. But if we fail to eat His Word, Prophet Jeremiah said, thy word was found and I did eat them. If we fail to eat His word, live in close contact with His word, we'll perish through malnutrition after a while. We need the word of God to grow on. Not just know what it says, not just know chapter and verse, not just memorize scriptures, but we need to open our hearts and let the Word of God down into our hearts and absorb it right up into our spiritual being till it becomes the major element in our life. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 15th verse, we're admonished in God's Word to be no more children tossed to and fro, but carried about with every wind of doctrine and cunning craftiness of men whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, children are easily influenced. And ordinarily, children will be affected by the last person they talk to. And it doesn't make any difference how many conflicting opinions you have and how much confusion there may be. The child is usually going to be affected by the last person he talked to. That's what's going to be in his mind. God doesn't want you and me like that. God wants you and me growing and developing and maturing and becoming knowledgeable in the things of God and abounding in His grace, where we're capable to weigh things out and sit down and reason things out and come to a conclusion of what the truth is in the matter. What's right and what's wrong. Learn how to be led by the Spirit. Learn how to be taught by the Spirit of God. Then verse 16 goes ahead to say, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him, which is the head, even Christ. The truth, the elements of truth. Folks, let us have a receptivity to the truth. Let us open our hearts to truth. There are many different things floating in the world today. Many different doctrines and creeds of men and things going on and much deception and confusion in the religious realms today. But let us open our hearts for truth. Let us just institute a real quest for truth in our lives. And as we search for truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And folks, that's so. Truth, an arrival at the facts, true facts, in any matter, will liberate you and set you free from all of the myths and the confusion and the wrong things that's being taught in the world today. Just to arrive at the truth. Speaking the truth in love. The Word of God and the love of God work hand in hand to produce a real spiritual growth in the soul. Grow up into Him, which is the head, even Christ. The psalmist said in the very first psalm, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. In His law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Folks, here just a picture of a real full, rich, well-developed, well-rounded life. Excuse me. In Christ. A tree planted by the rivers of water. I believe there's a text in the 80th Psalm I want to notice right here. He said, the man who delights in the law of the Lord be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, the tree that's planted by the rivers of water, Jeremiah said he'll not see when drought comes. His roots are running out in that moisture that's supplied by the river. It's right down by the river, and all that moisture is available to that tree. As you and I are planted by the river of the water of life, just planted by the hand of God, right in there, then we have accessible to us all of the elements of the river of the water of life that feeds right into our very spiritual being through the roots. And this 80th Psalm, verse 8, he said, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt." That was the children of Israel. "Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and did cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land." That's growth. Real growth. Said he prepared room before it. God's made plenty of room for you and me. If we'll just let ourselves out, let go and let God, let Him have His way with us, He's prepared plenty of room for us to develop and to grow and expand in our spiritual lives. We don't have to settle for any kind of a level. There is no level established for the children of God. The sky's the limit. Just keep going and increasing and abounding in the things of God all you will. Said the hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof like the goodly cedars. But now one thing in particular I want us to notice in this reading was that it took deep root. Folks, we need to let our roots go down deep in the truth and in the alluvial soil of the grace of God. Over in that 13th chapter of Matthew, there's a very sad note there to me, very melancholy note. Jesus gave this parable here about the sower and the seed. And he went forth to sow his seed, and some seed fell by the wayside, and some among the thorns, and some on good ground. And in particular, I want to notice now the seed that fell on the stony ground. That was one of the places. All of us were in one of those classifications. We're either wayside, or stony ground, or thorns, or good ground. All of us are in one of those classifications, and we would all like to think ourselves in that last classification, good ground. We'd all like to think we were good ground. But the fruit proves what we are, see. The results prove. We might say, "I have a good and honest heart." Jesus said that was a good ground. We might say that, but how's the fruit? How's the growth? What's being produced in our lives? Nobody would like to say, "I'm a sneak." None of us would own up to being dishonest, would we? No one likes to do that anyway. We all like to say, "I'm a good, honest man." But the fruit's what tells the story. How the fruit's being produced. Brought forth, those in the good ground brought forth 30, some 60, some 100-fold. There was growth as a result of the seed falling in the good ground. But this stony ground now, let's think of it a little bit. Jesus said, they on the stony ground are they which receive the word of God, but after a while, when the sun is risen, when the tribulations and persecutions come, because they have no root in themselves. You see how important that root is. Let our roots go down. He said in the second chapter of Colossians, the 8th verse, I believe, he said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up and established in the present faith. The way we root down into the faith of God is by just opening our hearts for God to work in us, to will and to do of His good pleasure, and the results and the effects of that working of God in us will just work our roots right on down. But these folks had no root in themselves. So when tribulations and persecutions for the word's sake came, they were offended. They just wilted. They withered. They couldn't stand up to the bright, hot sun. But why? Because they had no root. But this picture here in the 80th Psalm is a different picture from that. They just grew and filled the whole land and covered the hills. And the secret of it was they took deep root. A shallow-rooted plant, in the time of drought, it's going to suffer. And if the drought lasts long enough, it will not survive. But a deep root can just go right on down and draw that deep moisture. It's a way down there that the shallow root never touches. And that plant can just thrive and thrive and grow right on, even in the time of drought. These folks took deep root. Now I'm told, in the case of a vine, that the roots under the ground extend out as far as the branches above the ground. Then I think of a text in Genesis, I don't know just where it is now, about Joseph. I believe it would be about the 49th chapter of Genesis, maybe. It's where Jacob was blessing all of his children before he died. And he said, Joseph is a vine that his branches reach over the walls. Well, the roots was going under the walls, getting out there as far as the branch reaching over the wall. Roots what we need. Rooted and built up and established in the present faith. If we get well rooted, then we can grow. Grow in grace. Sad. It's always been a sad story to me about them folks that didn't have any root. No root in themselves. Folks, we need to stand definitely committed in our hearts to every principle of truth taught in the New Testament and just root right on down in that. whatever it is. If it's something we're not measured up to, be committed in our heart to it as a truth and a fact, and we're moving on to that. If we're not measured up, let's be measuring up. If we're not up in the full light, let's be going on toward it. Just moving right on. As God deals with our hearts and reveals light and truth to our souls, let's move. Amen. The path of the just, I said that a while ago, it fits here again, is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. John said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Just keep walking. Keep pace with the light. Keep up to date with God. And as we do, his grace will abound in our souls, and there'll be no stagnation. There'll be no stalemate. But life will be one continuous adventure in the reaching out into new realms and new things in the service of God. Amen.